to go to prison, not to roam in the streets of European cities. Absolutely. This is my idea.
Since removing their decade-long ban on the MKO, the Western nations, especially the United States, have used the group as a tool to pressure Iran. But the latest revelations about the terror organization can serve as a wake-up call for its Western supporters that the threats they have been brewing against Iran will backfire on them.
The government of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is in trouble. His cabinet has invoked a rarely used emergency ordinance to quell anti-vaccine truck protests that have crippled the country. The Emergency Act can authorize the use of the military. It can also temporarily suspend citizens' rights to free movement or assembly, and the government is taking steps to stop financial support of illegal protests. The measure allows Canadian banks to freeze accounts suspected of funding the blockades and suspend insurance on vehicles in the protests. Trudeau has noted that the measures will be time-limited, geographically targeted, as well as reasonable and proportionate. The Canadian law, which was passed in 1988, says, "For the purpose of this act, a national emergency is an urgent and critical situation of a temporary nature that cannot be effectively dealt with under any other law of Canada." Trudeau said, "The government is not overriding the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, nor limiting the right to peaceful assembly."
The federal government has invoked the Emergencies Act to supplement provincial and territorial capacity to address the blockades and occupations.
The plan has drawn widespread condemnation from Canadians, including the Premier in Quebec, Francis Legault, who said Trudeau's announcements risk putting oil on the fire. The trouble all began after thousands of protesters in trucks and other vehicles blocked the streets of Ottawa, as well as two border crossings with the U.S. to vent their frustration over COVID-19 vaccine mandates. The protests have not stayed in Canada, though. Similar freedom convoy protests have grown in countries like the US, France, New Zealand, Australia. As common with protests, many have also vented their anger against the government due to their economic situation as a result of COVID-19.
Spontaneous thing where people are upset. That's one whole part of this, and it's part of a general movement, I think, that we're seeing around the world of the ultra-right asserting itself and using the money of the millionaires to do it.
The so-called Freedom Convoy protests started with truckers protesting COVID-19 vaccine or quarantine mandate. It then broadened to include people opposing all coronavirus-related restrictions announced by the Trudeau government. The protest has attracted the support of thousands of Canadians, even some who are fully vaccinated. They say all COVID-19 preventive measures must be dropped. The protests have drawn support from groups from the U.S.
Having is a right-wing attack on all kinds of things, because one of the demands of the people in Canada was that Trudeau should resign, and the other was that the western part of the country should secede. So, you know, these are not just little political things. So you have, in Canada in particular, the implementation of a very conservative right-wing agenda. And everybody agrees on that, especially the right-wing who's doing it. So this isn't just some kind of, you know, spontaneous thing where people are upset.
Canadian authorities have said about half of the funding for the protests has come from U.S. supporters. Toronto Dominion Bank last week froze two personal bank accounts that received $1.4 million for the protests. In the western Canadian province of Alberta, police have broke up a group that was armed and prepared to use violence. The protests that have hindered traffic at border crossings have impacted more than $500 million in commerce each day.
I think that what happened was that the automobile companies complained. You know, there's production shut down, millions of dollars lost. And it was pretty clear that that was very unpopular. And he waited long enough for the economy to be heard and people to be heard and said, enough's enough. And I think the balance of force has changed a bit because of that.
Truckers and their supporters have gathered in the capital, Ottawa, since January 29th to rally against mask mandates, lockdowns, restrictions on gatherings, and other COVID-19 preventive measures. Some downtown Ottawa businesses have had to shut down temporarily. There have been reports of rock throwing, property damage, harassment, and even hate crimes.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, selecting role model. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of selecting role model for our kids when we are raising them in the Islamic lifestyle. Now, it is very necessary that we should be aware of the criteria of selecting a role model. Obviously, when we hang out with the people, when we socialize with the neighbors, with the relatives, maybe in the mosque, maybe in the Husseiniya, where you go, and obviously in the days of Muharram and the days of Ramadan or the weekends when we go there, we need to be careful that whatever we do or with whoever we socialize or we have relationship, our kids gonna have the same relationship. And kids are the ones who are recording all our activities, even when the child is at the stage where it is in the womb of the mother. And even when it is delivered, it is in the lap of the mother. This child can see everything and is observing everything, and every single action of the parents have effect on this child. Therefore, in order to select a good role model, we need to have a good role model and to follow that so that our kids can see the followership of that role model in their parents, and then they can follow their parents, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of selecting role model. And we said, obviously, the kids, they see us, they follow us, and especially the boys, they follow the fathers, or and the daughters follow the mother. Therefore, we as a parent should have a good role model. And in order to select a role model, we need to know about the criteria. For example, that the role model which we chose for our own selves, this role model should be in a way a person who is perfectly or is trying to follow the Islamic teachings. Therefore, those who are perfect in following the Islamic teachings are the Prophet and the infallible Imams. And that's why they are the role model. And Allah has made them the role model for us. Therefore, it is necessary for the parents to know about the life of their Prophet, to know about the life of the infallible Imams, to know about the life of Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alayha. And if we know about them, if we know we have read the history, not heard the history, if we have read means reading the books of history to know what they were doing and how they used to live. Generally, we hear from the scholars. So we should have the habit of researching, reading the books. So if we read about their life, if we are trying to follow what they have said and the way they lived, then obviously we can be the good role models for our children. And then when they see us living a good life, an ethical life, a life which is full of love, full of peace, full of spirituality, they will also follow the footsteps of their parents, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The issue of nuclear breakout, that is, the time needed for enrichment to produce an atomic bomb, has always been raised by the West and its Zionist and Arab allies. The anti-Iranian axis uses the issue as a leverage to put pressure on Tehran and build a consensus against the Islamic Republic. We'll prepare for you an article written by Hassan Shukuhi Nasab, an international relations expert, under the heading U.S. Legerdemain in Vienna. The eighth round of talks in Vienna aimed at removing sanctions on Iran can be considered the longest, the most complex, and at the same time the most sensitive political negotiations. In the meantime, positive signals have been transmitted from the Austrian capital, showing steps forward, which may be slow, but advancing contrary to those in recent years. One of these signals is the recent U.S. move to restore sanctions waivers on some of Iran's civilian nuclear activities. On 21st of January, the U.S. State Department informed Congress that it has suspended some sanctions against Iran's civilian nuclear activities in order to allow the two sides to return to their commitments under the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA. Although some describe the U.S. measure as a mere show in line with the interests of the sanctioning country rather than those of Iran, it is only part of the jigsaw puzzle in the provisions over which there is already an agreement as reported by the media. Observers believe the United States is pursuing both overt and covert objectives from this issue, ranging from reassuring its regional allies about the peaceful nature of Iran's nuclear activities after an agreement and easing worries about Iran's nuclear breakout time, to addressing domestic rifts in Congress, as well as tensions between the White House and the Republicans. The issue of nuclear breakout, that is, the time needed for enrichment to produce an atomic bomb, has always been raised by the West and its Zionist and Arab allies. The anti-Iranian axis uses the issue as a leverage to put pressure on Tehran and build a consensus against the Islamic Republic. They are pursuing their Iranophobia project by showing that Iran's nuclear breakout time is near. This is why the country is not seeking to develop and use atomic bombs based on a fatwa or religious edict by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Mohammad Islami, head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, has also said that the country does not go beyond 60% uranium enrichment. Moreover, from the observer's point of view, The benefits that Iran derives from reaching the threshold far outweigh those of its nuclearization. However, regardless of Iran's official position, the Western media, from the Wall Street Journal to the website Axios, are trying to portray Iran's nuclear breakout time as very near. The Wall Street Journal claims that this time is now less than a year and possibly reduced to 6 months, and the website Axios alleges that the time required for Tehran to produce an atomic bomb is a maximum of 4 to 6 months. Since the start of the eighth round of the Vienna talks until today, the element of time has been used as a tool to exert pressure on Iran and reduce Tehran's maximum demands. A look at the repeated positions of White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki and the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and the unanimity of diplomats from the European trio regarding insufficient time, revealed a portrayal of a state of emergency. A situation in which Iran is far from rational and deliberate decisions and trapped in excitement. However, as the eighth round of the Vienna talks lengthens, it can be understood that the Iranian team has prioritized achieving the desired result over reaching a swift, unfavorable agreement. Now, at the last minute of the Vienna talks, when some news indicates the drafting of an agreement, U.S. senators disguised as opponents came to the help of the White House in order to lower Tehran's expectations. The summoning of U.S. Special Envoy for Iran, Robert Malley, to a secret meeting with members of Congress, as well as the letter of 33 Republican senators addressed to President Joe Biden, can be assessed within this context. Even if we assume that the dispute between Congress and the White House is not fabricated, the outcome of the tension is a temporary agreement. The deal, which Iran has opposed so far, but according to Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, there is still a long way to go before the 2015 Iran nuclear deal can be revived. It should be noted that in the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA, and subsequent United Nations Security Council Resolution 2231, temporary restrictions were considered for Tehran. In addition to the 15-year limit on Iran's nuclear activities, the resolution included a 5- and 8-year ban on Iran's arms and missile activities, which are called sunset clauses. The arms embargo expired last year, and we will see the lifting of the restrictions on Iran's missile program in the near future. This is one of the concerns of the West and its regional allies. So far, they have made endeavors to make the embargoes permanent, but these efforts have so far got nowhere. The empty place of the Iranian parliament, the Majlis, which previously helped reduce the West's acts of sabotage by approving the plan of proportionate reciprocal action of the Iranian government in the implementation of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA, is very much felt. But Tehran has used other means of leverage at the current critical juncture. The firm positions of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, as well as the increasing defense military capability, such as the unveiling of the strategic missile dubbed Khaybar Shekan, can be analyzed in this regard. Therefore, it is expected, by looking through realistic lenses and understanding the current situation, the West will stop making fictitious deadlines and playing the nuclear breakout and other worn-out fruitless games. It is also expected that the Islamic Republic, as an influential player within the region and beyond, would agree to a win-win deal with reciprocal and balanced obligations and rights. Recently, Iranian President Sayed Ebrahim Raisi said any possible agreement between Iran and the 4+1 group of countries in the Austrian capital Vienna must include the removal of all sanctions, the provision of valid guarantees, and cessation of political issues and claims. The Iranian president made the remark in a phone conversation with his French counterpart Emmanuel Macron on Saturday, as the two sides discussed the latest status of the ongoing talks in Vienna between Tehran and the five remaining signatories to the 2015 Iran nuclear deal, officially known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA. The aim of these talks is to revive the JCPOA. Iranian President Said Ebrahim Raisi said, "The Iranian negotiating team has repeatedly announced that it welcomes the initiatives that would guarantee the provision and protection of the nation's rights." He added that certain political pressures or claims have been made with the aim of maintaining the leverage of pressure on the Iranian nation, which undermined the prospect of reaching an agreement in Vienna. He noted that the Iranian delegation is advancing the talks in the Austrian capital with seriousness, saying, "In the course of the Vienna negotiations, the Islamic Republic of Iran has offered constructive proposals and has examined the proposals made by the other side based on their conformity with the interests of the Iranian people." Elsewhere in his remarks, the Iranian president, Said Ebrahim Raisi, said, "Iran's history of interaction with the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, and the agency's numerous reports all confirming and verifying the peaceful nature of Iran's nuclear activities proved the false claims leveled by some countries against Tehran."
Start. Movement. Speed. Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, sisters and brothers, men and women of all ages, hope you're doing well wherever you are. Just take a very special care of your health. Well, this is Arab English Radio. Right now, you're listening to a new episode of your most desired station, the one and only Youth Station.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
As usual, we're here to provoke thoughts on some very crucial issues. I am Asma, and I'm more than happy to be your host.
And yes, this is Zainab, and I am Asma's co-host today.
Yes, thank you for being here. I'm so happy to be here with you again.
I'm always glad to
on
be
Youth
with you,
Station.
Asma. I get so good energy.
Yes,
always
you're
with you.
Full of good vibes. So, what are we discussing today?
You say. You love to speak a lot.
It's a personal question.
Yeah, please ask.
I would rather like to ask and know. Well, what are the bad habits you have and you wish to quit them?
Oh my God, on air.
or the people around you.
Well, first of all, let me start with myself since you started the gun with me, pointing at me.
You can point that at me as well.
The worst quality that I... so much try to work mm-hmm. on and so much hate in myself is the things that I would definitely like to quit is being hypersensitive with things.
Oh.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email that is englishradio@irib.ir.
being hyper
I think it's usual with women. All the women are like this, right?
I don't think
mostly
all
they're
women.
Like this.
Sometimes they do ignore, but I sometimes notice very little things that really, really don't matter or are not important at all. For example, let's go with negative comments.
Yes.
Let's go with negative comments. Be at your home, be at your, like you cooked something and somebody at
and
your family said.
And that affects you a lot.
Yes. Yeah. See, for example, you put all your efforts in cooking a new dish and the one you're presenting in your home is telling you that, I wish I had a little salt, it would have been much better. Rather than concentrating on a positive part of the story
that's
that she made so many efforts.
Yes.
And now she just... But you as a person should not take it very, very seriously. You should always look at what efforts you did, you made, you know. You did so much, you put so much energy into it. But that one comment hurts you and you go with it and you next time...
Why do you think it's like that? Why do you think you're so super sensitive?
I think the comments encourage or discourage you.
You care about people's
idea. You care about
idea.
People. Like I recently learned in Quran that if we do things for Allah, we won't get hurt ever.
Exactly. That was the point that I was going to tell you. We should not actually please everyone, you know? It's not a rule. Have you tried to change that?
I am so much trying to do that. But sometimes I think like...
And how successful you are.
To some extent, but in some very hard things, for example, if it said that, you do this work for Allah, you know, do this work for Allah. Okay, while you're giving money to like helping needy and all,
yes,
at that time it's understood. But while you're cooking and presenting something to your family, I don't understand.
Expectations. And they must be answered.
You cannot do that without expectations. I mean, you do keep expectations, especially from your loved ones.
Yes. So we're going for a little break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
You know what? But speaking of this very thing, which is very usual, being
hypersensitive,
we should notice some very important facts. Well, first of all, we're not here to please everyone. And we are not able of doing that.
That's so true. You reminded me of a story.
Nobody is perfect.
Exactly.
Nobody is perfect. If we consider this fact, then life becomes easier.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be so hard on ourselves, you know?
In pleasing people. I remember this story, but this story helped me a lot to come out of this thing.
Share it with us.
Yeah.
We would love to learn things.
Of course. There was a man, this is a famous story. There was a man and his son, and they had a donkey. The son was on the donkey, and the father was walking. And once they moved from one place to another, the people around were saying, what kind of son this is? His father, his old father is walking, and he's on the donkey. Son came down, father sat on donkey. They moved ahead, and the people started saying, how selfish father.
And it's a circle. It would go like that forever.
How selfish father.
Yes.
He's going on with the donkey and see his son. Mm-hmm. He's so tired and all. Then they moved ahead and they both, people said that they don't use their intellect. They can both go on with the donkey, you know. And both sit on donkey. They say, How cruel they are.
Yes.
You know, they don't see the one animal and two people sting on one animal. And then both come down.
So no matter what you do, there is something for them to
comment. They come down, both come down. Donkey moves alone, father moves alone, son moves alone. And people say, how useless.
Yes.
Exactly. Whatever you do, people are going to talk.
There's finally a thing that they would have a comment on it.
They would have to comment on it. Yeah. Because they don't know, you know why? They do not walk in your shoes.
Yes.
They do not bear the thorns that you have bared in the way. They do not travel your journey. I personally believe that we as humans are not supposed to judge, the final judge, the actual judges, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to do all judgments on the day of judgment. It's also called day of judgment.
Another bad habit, including that...
Hypersensitivity.
Hypersensitivity. that I have, I myself have it, is overthinking.
Oh.
Which is so devastating.
How?
How? Because it eats me a lot. Because, you know, even before things happen, before bad things start to come into reality,
you start taking tensions before they come.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And I try to change it a lot, but I don't know how successful I am.
Well, I think that's super hypersensitivity.
Yes. In another zone.
Yeah. It mostly happens with the youth, especially in the time of exams.
Yes, time of exams.
I mean, do we ever...
And life has become in a way that no matter if you have an exam, if you have a job, or if you have worries like this, you are prone into this sort of thinking, overthinking, you know?
Overthinking, yeah.
As a mother, as a student, as a person who works, as anything like this.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can listen to us at parstoday.com/en.
Just to give a recap to those who have joined us recently, we were talking about things that we have to quit in order to live happier.
Yeah, I think we discussed hypersensitivity,
yes,
and overthinking. What else do you think, Asma?
And we talked about the ways. We said that nobody is perfect.
Yeah.
We said that. Stop pleasing everyone.
Exactly. And I remember of this artist. Mm-hmm. There was one artist who was learning from his teacher. He was a very, very great painter.
Yes.
And he told him that I put this painting in the middle of the road in a four-way and ask people to take out, say something about this picture. And everyone started, whosoever came, started writing, if you had used this color over here, it would have been much better. If you had used this, mm-hmm. this. You know, making bad his entire painting.
Yeah.
And then when he takes it back to his teacher, he says that nobody wrote something good about it. You know why? Because people are only concentrated in taking out your...
Negative points.
Yes.
Negative points. And also, Zainab, we should add another point. Sometimes, because you love people, some specific people are very dear to you, you want to please them in a way that it seems like chasing them.
Exactly.
Chasing them into loving you, and then you do everything in your power. But they're still not satisfied. So what happens is that you are the only one who loses everything.
All the time.
Who gets hurt all the time.
Has it happened with you? That has happened so many times with me, like getting gifts for the person you like the most,
yes,
and that person does not like those gifts. You spend time,
and
energy,
you just
money,
away.
Everything, and that person does not like your gifts, and you get upset. Oh my God, I spent energy. Mm-hmm. Above all, I spent time, and this person is not appreciating.
Just to sum it up,
just
to sum up the gist of what we talked about is that stop pleasing everybody.
Exactly.
I think if we do that, we would live a happier life.
Exactly. And when you start doing things for Allah, when mm-hmm. we have khulus, when
Notice
we have sincerity,
Allah, yes.
when we have sincerity mm-hmm. towards Allah, when we do things for Allah, we have least expectations from people.
Yes,
we do not expect a thank
true.
You. We do not chase people. We do not please them.
Exactly.
And then Allah pleases them himself.
That's very
true. And that's so beautiful.
That's very true, yes. Yeah. Such a beautiful topic it was, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you.
If we had more time, we would have gone like this forever.
Yeah, like Asma and me, dear listeners, if we are kept in studio until evening, we'll stay here I think we'll stay for night here.
Yes,
yeah, we'll
exactly.
be discussing, having coffees and all.
And everybody would get tired.
Yeah. But as per the format of our program, we'd have to end it now. From my end, I bid a farewell.
Thank you for listening to us. Thank you so very much, dear listeners, sisters and brothers, the loyal audience of IRB English Radio, for lending us your time and attention. You are listening to your favorite one and only youth station. If you've missed any episode or you wish to stay tuned to the latest topics and discussions, you can visit parstoday.com. With a click on A Call of Islam, all your favorite programs will pop up and you could find a boundless archive of any topics of your interest. Also, if you have any suggestions or ideas, you could send your emails at englishradio@irib.ir. I hope you're not tired and you enjoyed this session as well. Until another session, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you with His never-sleeping eyes. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Yes.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong because of you. In weakness I am braver. My defender and my savior, my giver and my taker, abiding in silence with patience and guidance. Aware when I need you, the light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my plea. And my love is strong. Because you are the one I call creator, my Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of
In the limelight.
A New York judge has ruled that former U.S. President Donald Trump will have to testify in his fraud investigation, leaving him sweating and his investors shaking their heads. We're prepared for you an article written by Lloyd Green, an attorney in New York who was opposition research counsel to George H.W. Bush's 1988 campaign and served in the Department of Justice from 1990 to 1992. The piece is titled, It's Trump's Time to Tell the Truth, the Whole Truth and Nothing But the Truth. Former U.S. President Donald Trump's bad luck continues. On Thursday afternoon, 17th of February, Arthur Engoron, a Manhattan judge, gave the thumbs up to subpoenas issued to Trump, favorite child Ivanka, and Donald Trump Jr. by Letitia James, New York's Attorney General. The court's ruling follows a decision by Trump's accountants to walk away from the one-term president and disavow years of financial statements issued by his company. Much as the Trump trio tried, they could not shut down Letitia James's investigation into the Trump Organization's business practices, which could lead to a civil lawsuit by Letitia James. Unlike a criminal prosecution, a civil action comes with a lower burden of proof for the government. At the same time, civil lawsuits can drag on, like right into 2024. Barring a stay, Donald Trump and his two children have been ordered to appear at deposition within 21 days. If they tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, who knows what liability may result? On the other hand, if they invoke their right to remain silent, they will probably be portrayed as criminals. Donald Trump observed on the campaign trail in 2016. He said, "You see, the mob takes the Fifth," adding, "If you're innocent, why are you taking the Fifth Amendment?" But time surely flies, and if the Trump family refuses to appear at deposition or simply stays mum when grilled, they risk being charged with contempt, a distinction presently held by Steve Bannon, Donald Trump's White House counselor and 2016 campaign guru. At this moment in time, Donald Trump must be sweating while his lenders have to be shaking their collective heads. How much is Trump worth and how bad can things get are no longer hypothetical issues. In the absence of operative financial statements, restructuring and bank called defaults have spilled into the realm of the real. As one Trump insider confided, "Hey, this might be serious. Could Donald Trump and his business be screwed? I don't know, but I'm not as confident as I once was in saying no." Meanwhile, 2024 Republican presidential aspirants are likely stifling a collective smirk. Trump's legal woes stand to broaden the Republican Party's presidential field, and for some, it is downright personal. For Mike Pence, Donald Trump's hapless vice president, these recent developments may well trigger a sense of schadenfreude. It wasn't that long ago when Trump's loyalists came with makeshift gallows for Mike Pence as they stormed the Capitol, and Donald Trump said nothing to deter the mob. Instead, he demanded loyalty from his number two. As for Ron DeSantis, Florida's governor, Donald Trump's troubles could not come at a better time. Trump has all but called DeSantis a coward for refusing to say whether he was vaccinated. Beyond that, Florida's recent per capita COVID mortality rate is the seventh highest in the United States, and Ron DeSantis is having a hard time denouncing neo-Nazi violence. The Sunshine State's governor declared, "So what I'm going to say is these people, these Democrats, are trying to use this as some type of political issue to try to smear me as if I had something to do with that," adding, "We're not playing their game." To be sure, Donald Trump's MAGA base would stick with him through thick and thin. The party's deep-pocketed donors are a different story, though. Donald Trump may have delivered them a trove of tax cuts and ambassadorships, but he's emotionally draining. Beyond that, his antics in the run-up to the 2020 Georgia runoff elections cost the Republicans control of the Senate. There are reasons Mitch McConnell rejects Trump's lie that the election was stolen and is seeking to bypass the 45th president. Thursday's ruling was scathing. At one point, the court concluded that the Attorney General had uncovered copious evidence of possible financial fraud. Elsewhere, the judge excoriated Donald Trump and co. for their flight to fancy and fiction, invoking Alice in Wonderland, 1984, and Kellyanne Conway all in a single sentence. The judge said, "The idea that an accounting firm's announcement that no one should rely on a decade's worth of financial statements that is issued based on numbers submitted by an entity somehow exonerates that entity and renders an investigation into its past practices moot is reminiscent of Lewis Carroll's, 'When I use the word Humpty Dumpty said, it means just what I chose it to mean. Neither more nor less.' George Orwell, 'War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength.' And alternative facts. In the past, Donald Trump managed to weather storms surrounding his finances and credibility. Trump University did not stop the ex-reality show host's political ascent. What happened next remains to be seen. Right now, Joe Biden's poll numbers are in the low 40s, inflation is on the loose, and Nancy Pelosi is poised to lose the Speaker's gavel. Against that tableau, Donald Trump poses a distraction from Republican ambitions, an unwelcome detour from anticipated outcome. Moreover, the recent development presents the former US president with a dilemma. Should he invoke his right to silence by pleading the fifth? What does pleading the fifth mean? The right of any person to decline to answer questions put to them in criminal proceedings flows from the Fifth Amendment of the US Constitution, hence pleading the fifth. The amendment, dating back to 1791, protects individuals from self-incrimination. It says, nor shall any person be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself. Technically, the financial investigation into the alleged fraudulent accounting of the Trump Organization is being conducted by Letitia James, the New York State Attorney General, as a civil case, and as such is not covered by the right to silence. There is a complication, though. Letitia James has made clear that she is working in unison with the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg, who is also looking into Donald Trump's finances, but as a criminal matter. On Thursday, 17th of February, just hours before Judge Arthur Engoron ruled that Trump and his children, Donald Jr. and Ivanka, had to present themselves for questioning, the former president's lawyers protested that he was being put in an impossible bind. Alina Haber, one of Donald Trump's legal team, told the court, they neither disclose evidence in a civil investigation or they have to invoke the constitutional right not to testify, thereby triggering an adverse inference in the civil action. How is that fair, Your Honor? Does pleading the fifth imply the witness is guilty? In law, not at all. U.S. law could not be clearer. Invoking your right not to answer a question in a criminal case says nothing about your guilt, and no inference may be drawn from it. The Supreme Court has underlined that point several times. For instance, in the 2001 ruling, Ohio v. Reiner, the justices stated that one of the Fifth Amendment's basic functions is to protect innocent persons who might otherwise be ensnared by ambiguous circumstances. Of course, what the law says is not the end of the calculation. Witnesses have to weigh up how a jury might respond were the case to go to civil trial, as Donald Trump's might. If you are a politician like Trump, there is also the vexed issue of public opinion.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered on June 3, 2016 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, on the occasion of 27th anniversary of Imam Khomeini's passing. The speech was delivered at Imam Khomeini's shrine in Tehran, Iran.
There are specific criteria for being a revolutionary. I'd like to mention 5 criteria during this meeting. The first criterion is a commitment to the main principles and values of the revolution. The second criterion is aiming at the ideals of the revolution and making great efforts to attain them. We should identify the ideals and lofty goals of the revolution, and then we should make efforts to attain them. The third criterion is the commitment to the independence of the country in all areas, including political, economic, cultural, which is the most important one, and independence of security. The fourth criterion regards showing sensitivity in the face of the enemy and the enemy's plots and plans, refusing to follow him.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The enemy should be identified. His plans should be understood, and following him should be avoided. As I said recently, the Holy Quran has referred to this refusal to follow the enemy as a great jihad. I have spoken 2-3 times about this matter. The fifth criterion is religious and political piety, which is very important. If these 5 criteria exist within someone, then they are definitely a revolutionary. Of course, as I said before, there are different degrees of revolutionary behavior. I will provide a short explanation for each of these 5 criteria. As I said, the first criterion is a commitment to the basic and fundamental values of Islam. Last year, in the same meeting, I spoke about Imam's principles. These are our fundamental principles. The first principle is the commitment to original Islam, which is opposed to American Islam. Original Islam is against American Islam. American Islam has 2 branches. One is reactionary Islam, and another is secular Islam. Arrogance and materialistic powers have supported and continue to support both of these branches. Sometimes they create them, sometimes they guide them, and sometimes they help them.
Allah, I wanna thank you. That you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done.
Of Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza,
London.
Russia, Zaglam, Istanbul.
Said Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
People in the blockaded Gaza Strip staged a sit-in to support Palestinian prisoners languishing in Israeli jails and detention centers. During the sit-in, people shouted slogans against the Israeli regime and demanded the release of all Palestinian prisoners. Palestinian prisoners are political prisoners, and they are regarded as heroes and freedom fighters by all Palestinians.
The suffering of Palestinian prisoners has increased in recent months, especially following the Bold Escape operation in September. Prisoners, including women and children, suffer every day inside Zionist jails. The Zionist crimes against the prisoners must stop.
The sit-in comes at a time when hundreds of Palestinian detainees have been denied proper medical treatment in Israeli jails. Over 200 Palestinian detainees have died in Israeli prisons since 1967. During a press conference outside the Red Cross office, the Palestinian Ministry of Health condemned Israel's inhumane treatment of Palestinian prisoners, especially those suffering from chronic medical conditions.
For Palestinian inmates, Israeli prisons serve as gateways towards their death because of medical negligence. Currently, there are 700 very sick Palestinian prisoners inside Israeli prisons without proper medical care. Those sick prisoners are dying slowly as the world watches in silence.
Palestinian prisoners are held in 24 Israeli prisons and detention centers where they are denied basic human rights. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas demanded international protection for Palestinian prisoners.
We call on the Red Cross and all international organizations to help Palestinian prisoners, especially those who are sick in Zionist jails. We demand international protection for Palestinian prisoners. They are suffering because of the racist Zionist practices.
People here are calling on the international community to come out of its silence and help Palestinian prisoners.
According to prisoners' advocacy groups, there are thousands of Palestinian prisoners suffering in Israeli prisons under inhumane detention conditions. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
The third edition of the annual conference on Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, dubbed General Soleimani and New Islamic Civilization. The conference was held online this time, with 50 scholars and political pundits from across the world giving speeches.
General Qasem Soleimani is a martyr, and he died fighting the head choppers and the throat slitters, and a brave, a charismatic leader. And we all honor his life.
General Soleimani was the spearhead of the fight against terrorism and the guarantor of regional stability. Should Iran and Russia have sat on their hands and not defeated the terrorists in Syria and Iraq, they would have had to fight them in their own soils.
We know that the U.S. and some other countries used terrorism under the banner of religion to topple the Syrian government and move the battlefield to Lebanon, Iraq, Iran, and the entire region. But Soleimani shattered all the U.S.'s calculations.
Soleimani was the commander of IRGC's Quds Force, which is in charge of conducting overseas operations.
The security of the Zionist regime is an important issue for all of the American governments. What General Soleimani did was to put Palestine in top of the Muslim world's priorities. And then he gathered and united all of the groups that opposed Israeli occupation as the resistance axis. This was the major motive for the U.S. to assassinate him.
Iran and Iraq have set up joint investigation committee on General Soleimani's assassination. Based on the latest findings of the legal team, 120 people have been identified in connection with Soleimani's assassination. Former U.S. President Donald Trump tops the list.
Iranian and Iraqi judicial teams are seriously following up on a legal pursuit to bring the culprits to justice. Iraq is where the assassination took place and has so far kept close cooperation with Iran. In the four-day conference, we're also going to discuss legal dimensions of Soleimani's assassination.
General Soleimani holds a reputation for eliminating Daesh terrorists in Iraq in 2017. He also led major operations in Syria that led to the recapturing of key areas from Daesh. That's why his assassination is viewed as a huge loss for the region and a big win for the terrorists. General Soleimani's assassination gave a clear clue about who is who in the fight against terrorism in the region. The United States killed the nemesis of Daesh, and that puts Washington on the terrorists' team. This as Iran is firmly following up on its legal pursuit to bring the perpetrators to justice, saying this is to make sure that such incidents will not happen again.